Today on Annenberg Radio News.
As you ask seven different people, you get seven different responses on how to go about doing the exact same thing, and they all think that they have jurisdiction over it.
Eagle Rock Brewery gets a taste of the bureaucratic process. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, November 13th, 2014. I'm Victor Figueroa. Los Angeles Police Chief Charlie Beck held a news conference this afternoon to give updates on the shooting death of Ezell Ford. The 25-year-old mentally ill man was unarmed when he was killed by two LA police officers in South LA in August. Nicole Hurup is live at the scene. Hi, Nicole. What did Chief Beck announce at the conference today?
Hi, Victor. They announced that they will be releasing the autopsy report next month before the end of the year. And they will be providing multiple alternatives and avenues for the public in hopes of encouraging eyewitnesses from the community to come forward with any additional information to facilitate the investigation. And he also promised that all details of the investigation will be made public with the completion of the investigation.
And the family of Ford, what was their reaction?
The family was not present, but the mayor was there, and he basically said the same thing as the police and urging the public to come forward if they have any additional information.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Nicole, for the update.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
The museum community in Los Angeles had the opportunity to voice concerns and grievances with the Secretary of Homeland Security today. Rebecca Gibeon reports.
The Secretary of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, is visiting Muslim communities around the nation with the hope of building trust and partnership in order to decrease the likelihood of radicalization among members.
This is as much your homeland, your country, your public safety as anybody else's. And so the slogan, if you see something, say something, is one that I bring to this community and a number of other communities.
Johnson hopes that people will begin to speak out when they see inappropriate behavior or see others heading down a bad path. Jihad Turk, the president of an Islamic graduate school in Claremont, said the Muslim Public Affairs Council has education programs that are supported by Homeland Security.
One of the things that the Muslim American community has done that Homeland Security is being very responsive with is something called Safe Spaces Initiative. Part of it's looking out for the signs of people who are becoming radicalized. Part of it's engaging with youth so that...
Johnson says these issues are a personal priority as secretary, and he will continue these talks nationwide. Rebecca Gibeon, Annenberg Radio News.
Lawyers for the Los Angeles Unified District argued in court that a 14-year-old middle school student was mature enough to consent to having sex with her 28-year-old teacher. Radio station KPCC first reported that the attorney used the girl's sexual history to help the district's defense in the civil case last November. LAUSD's trial lawyer Keith Wyatt told KPCC that the girl bore some of the responsibility for what happened.
She lied to her mother so she could have an opportunity to have sex with her teacher, that she went to a motel in which she engaged in voluntary consensual sex with her teacher. Why shouldn't she be responsible for that?
The jury ruled the district was not at fault and that it had no knowledge of the six-month sexual relationship. The girl's attorney, Frank Perez, told KPCC he had never seen a verdict where a child was listed as partially responsible for his or her own molestation. This teacher, Elkis Hermada, was sentenced to 3 years in prison in 2011 for lewd acts against a child. The girl's family filed a civil suit against LAUSD, claiming the district was negligent and that the experience emotionally damaged the girl. Truck drivers at the Port of Los Angeles picketed this morning to demand better wages. As Taylor Haney reports, they say their employers violated their prior agreement for a cooling-off period.
Truck drivers were off the job today and on the picket line at six different locations along the port. They say the TTSI company retaliated against them by firing 35 drivers during a cooling-off period brokered by LA Mayor Eric Garcetti in July. They say the other company, Pac-9, increased illegal deductions from their paychecks. And the drivers say they still don't have quality working conditions. Alex Paz was fired by TTSI earlier this year.
And it's time for all the port truck drivers, not just here in LA or Los Angeles, for nationwide port truck drivers to get together and organize and get a fair contract for better wages for our families.
A spokesman for the LA Harbor Department said 13 cargo ships have been unable to dock today due to the slowdown in operations. Mayor Eric Garcetti released a statement saying one of the companies agreed to sit with him and the drivers' union to renegotiate. Taylor Haney, Annenberg Radio News.
Increasing the minimum wage has been a hot-button issue recently, but a lawsuit filed by the City of Los Angeles this morning is now turning attention to workers getting paid below what they should be.
City Attorney Mike Feuer announced that his office would be pressing charges against six contractors who allegedly underpaid dozens of workers on a city project. $9.5 million of taxpayer money was awarded to Mac One Development and its subcontractors in 2009 for the construction of an animal care center in South LA. 3 years later, the city claims that the defendants kept improper records, failed to pay overtime, and underreported workmen's compensation claims. In one example, Feuer alleges that subcontractor KCC General Construction paid workers a fraction of the $45 wage they were owed.
We allege that they paid employees as little as $5 an hour beneath the minimum wage.
Feuer is asking for the public's help in identifying these types of wage theft. His office established a public hotline for people to report abuses.
Integral to assuring that every worker in this city gets paid the wage to which they're entitled is the public being aware of what the rights are of every worker.
The city is looking to ban the contractors from getting any more public contracts, forcing them to repay the employees and pay penalties of up to $2,500 per violation. Andy Vasoyan, Annenberg Radio News.
Weather experts are predicting a fairly normal El Nino this year. El Niños cause an enormous redistribution of heat in the tropic Pacific, and the bigger the event, the more rainfall. With California in its third year of drought, a big El Nino could really come in handy. NASA climatologist Bill Petzer, who also goes by the name Mr. El Nino, says there's still some hope.
There are other weather systems here in the American West, and especially in California, that can deliver rain. Great low-pressure systems that'll move out of the North Pacific as we get deeper into winter.
Los Angeles is already behind on rainfall for this season. Normally, the city gets about 1.5 inches of rain by November, but we've only had a third of that so far. It's game day. It's time for our weekly sports minute this week with Logan Healy. Trojan fans are heading to the Coliseum for tonight's 6 p.m. game against the California Berkeley Bears.
Tailgating will not be allowed on campus before game time, but the USC Trojans plan on providing plenty of entertainment with its offense. The Trojans want to repeat last year's thrashing where they beat Cal 62-38, riding the legs of current Heisman Trophy candidate Buck Allen. For USC, the Pac-12 playoffs are still in sight, but the Trojans can't overlook a Cal squad that's been performing better this season. Thanks to sophomore standout quarterback Jared Goff, Cal is averaging over 40 points per game. The Bears also have a litany of wide receivers who can make impact plays. Logan Healy, Annenberg Radio News.
Designers and craftspeople from all over the state got the chance to showcase their work at a pop-up market at LA Live. Last night's event gave both artists and shoppers a chance to see something a little different.
Pretty much we source our leather downtown, and everything is hand-cut, handmade, hand-sewn.
Okay, the process of making jewelry can be a little bit complicated because I'm kind of, in a nice way, weird. I basically, like say for instance, whenever I'm making something, I break it down 3 to 4 times just to make sure that it's right. It has to be right. If it doesn't feel right, it doesn't look right, I automatically take it apart and start over again.
I am married to a landscape designer who is colorblind, and he picks the most bizarre colors because he is colorblind. And actually a lot of my color choices are influenced by his choices because he sees things so differently.
You know, I can just describe the noun really quick. It's a nice flower hat. I call it the Streets of Gold edition. Because it has gold embedded around the Bible, which also stands for basic instructions before you leave Earth. You know, we want to live great on Earth, but we want to do some basic instructions before we leave Earth also.
I just picked up a few ties over there. Some sick custom-made ties. Totally let down with the bow ties and the socks, so rocking my gear.
That story was produced by Jonathan Tolliver. The microbrewery community in Los Angeles has been growing steadily within the last several years. One of its pioneers is Eagle Rock Brewery, which opened in 2009. The brewery has faced costly public hearings and other red tape that threaten its ability to operate. Phoenix So visited Eagle Rock Brewery last week to see what's at stake for this business and other LA microbreweries.
You make the noise then.
See if you can hear it first.
What you're hearing is the beer-making process at Eagle Rock Brewery. The brewery opened in 2009 in Los Angeles' Glassell Park neighborhood. It's the pioneer of LA's microbrew scene. Here's Andrew Bukowski, one of the brewers, describing the types of grain that go into their flavors.
You're going to start off with your base grains and your specialty grains to give you the different flavors of the beer. You'll have dark grains, light grains, roasty ones, smoky ones. To take those, you put them into the mill, and that's going to kind of crack them open so that later when we mash them, the water can get in there and kind of get the processes we need started and extract the sugars and the flavors.
Sounds delicious, right? Less appetizing is all the red tape that the brewery has gone through since it applied to open. Back in 2008, LA Zoning Administration granted Eagle Rock Brewery a permit for 10 years. Then, the property owner across the street complained about having a business that serves alcohol in the neighborhood, saying that it would create problems with parking, drunk customers, and even gangs. At another hearing, the permit was limited to 5 years. Since then, the city has held two more hearings on whether the brewery can stay open, an undertaking that requires dealing with LA's sprawling bureaucracy, as co-owner Ting Su tells us.
I don't think any one department really is even aware of the existence of other departments. And they don't necessarily understand, you know, what they put a small business owner through or what they put a business owner through by having them kind of all give different responses. You ask seven different people, you get seven different responses on how to go about doing the exact same thing. And they all think that they have jurisdiction over it, which is insanity.
It goes on. Eagle Rock has had to commission a radius map, inform all neighboring businesses about the meeting, and schedule appointments with the LAPD, the Zoning Administration, etc. Organizing a hearing has cost around $8,000 for the brewery. Perhaps it's because it's on such shaky ground with the city, or perhaps it would have always been that way. But Eagle Rock hires employees who seem especially considerate of its neighborhood. They close the tap room at 10, turn away nearby college students, and enforce other policies that cut down on noise. Eagle Rock Brewery also does a lot of outreach, such as breast cancer research fundraisers and events with other local microbreweries and restaurants. It even hosts a regular women's only beer forum. As a result, at the fourth hearing yesterday morning, an overwhelming amount of people were there to testify about Eagle Rock's positive impact, including someone from Councilman Mitch O'Farrell's office and the LAPD sergeant who inspected it, Sterling Frankensteffen, emphasized how Eagle Rock's trials look to the rest of the small business community.
Finally, I am actually a potential competitor to Eagle Rock Brewing with a brewery in planning, and I have been very focused on locating myself within the city of Los Angeles, but concerns that Eagle Rock are dealing with and others that have dealt with the same are dissuading me.
Co-owner Jeremy Robb asked meeting officials to stop subjecting his business to any future hearings. Eagle Rock Brewery is hoping to deal less with Los Angeles city planners as well. A decision will soon be made about whether it can operate without any more hearings. Phoenix So, Annenberg Radio News.
Now it's time for our Media Center check-in. Joining us, Neon Tommy Editor-in-Chief Will Fetterman. Tell us, what's going on online?
Well, today we have columnist Juliet Lynn asking, should the lack of diversity in the entertainment industry intimidate people of color? It's her latest column exploring the dynamics of ethnicity in film and television. And later today, we will have staff reporter Belinda Kai looking at the challenges international students face to secure a visa after graduation.
That's it for this Thursday. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Victor Figueroa.
Something about the strangers in the